I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, third hour here on Tiki and Tierney. What's going on? CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Instagram. Got to hop on the old IG, see what your boys are up to. Tiki and Tierney there as well. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Coming in from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need cash out of your home, with a simple way to get it, Rocket can. By the way, Devontae Adams is out. He's been ruled out for Thursday's matchup with the undefeated Cardinals with COVID. Now, is it COVID? Has he actually been...
I think he tested positive.
So he did test positive.
Right? And if he, because if it was exposure, he would just need two, and it was exposure.
Unless he wasn't vaccinated.
Exactly. So exposure and vaccinated, you need two negative tests in 48 hours, which obviously would be fine.
Would have had a chance to do it.
But if he is not vaccinated and he's just exposed, he's out for 10 days.
By the way, Mike just said the reports are he is vaccinated, so he's okay.
So he must have tested positive then.
Wow. So then, and Mike, how about this? Because as soon as I heard that, I'm like, let me just check the line, see if they were able to correct this. The opening line was 3.5, right? And it went to 6. So there was a 2.5-point line movement. Some sites have taken it down, but the ones that have not. There's been a 2.5-point line correction for a wide receiver. I mean, I know he's one of the best in the game, but that is rare.
I mean, he's the go-to guy.
I understand what he is. That's crazy, though. You don't see that with betting. No. I mean, just from a betting point of view, that's a lot. He is most of the offense, though, he and Rodgers. I understand. So that really takes some of the shine off the game. That sucks for us
as
fans. It's
still an important game.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Aaron Rodgers, who's been sublime the last 6 weeks.
Is 17 touchdowns.
See what he's made of. No interceptions as well, which is what we're used to. But, yeah, it does suck because Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the game.
No doubt. Short list, top three, and maybe even top two. Maybe even one for some, depending upon exactly what you're
looking
for.
I mean, last year he was.
Yeah, he was. That's true. All right. So, you know, eventually, and it's funny, you know, last week we stuck our toe in this end of the pool. We start to... Based on the article that Lock and Four wrote on CBSSports.com, in his opinion, there are up to 12 teams that might look to change their quarterback position, you know, really alter the quarterback room, meaning the starter next year. And when you start to go, now, I think I agreed with 8 or 9, a couple I thought were much of a reach. But that's, you know, you write articles in October, that's what you're going to get. The point being, we're at the point now where we're really starting to assess, all right, which teams may have missed on quarterbacks, which teams clearly hit. Coaches are tougher. Obviously, you could go by the barometer of what's the record, like with QBR and average per attempt and touchdown pick ratio, blah, 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 completion percentage. There's so many data points for a quarterback that you can say you could really go deep into it and come up with a probably a more accurate answer, plus the eye test.
Yeah.
But you watch a coach, and when we see him, he's really just standing there for 60 minutes, right? What we don't see is the practice and really the halftime adjustments, although you will see a play out on TV.
Yeah.
It's hard to diagnose halfway through a season if a team hired the right guy.
Yeah, it is.
But there's some signs.
Well, there's signs like effort, right? Or are guys trying hard even when they're losing? Or, decisions on the sideline, whether it's to challenge a play or to call timeout or just how you're managing the big, you know, situations that are going on throughout the game. I think, you know, the other thing is emotion, right? So much of football is emotion. And, you know, if you're just passive despite all the negativity that's going on, then it starts to – not that this is an indication, but you almost start asking, like, does this guy even care? Right? And that's the last thing you want to be asking about a head coach, guy who's just, you know, static, no emotion – you know, good, bad, especially when it's bad, just kind of just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad sign.
Oh, that's the bullseye right on your forehead at that point. Right. Everybody wants you gone.
That's right, because at the very least, care. Get mad. When things go wrong, at least horribly wrong, like with the Jets this past weekend, get mad. And I don't know if you see that a lot. And it's kind of surprising, to be honest with you, just to dial in on the Jets for a second, because what we knew about Rob Saleh coming into this season before he was the head coach was that he was an emotional guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we saw on the sideline in San Francisco. It was kind of like endearing and made you just can't wait to see how he would react.
Yeah.
And he's been the antithesis of that on the sideline.
Yeah.
It worries me a little bit.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is the first time that I am a little worried about the staff and the direction. I'm not saying that Rob's not the guy, but, you know, listen, I think, for you, those of you who don't know, Teague and I started working together in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a fun football season since 2013.
That's right.
2013.
Yeah, you had the one, but that was prior to us working together.
Well, the one that was decent was when the Jets won 10 wins with Bowles, but then they choked it out in Buffalo in week 17, and they fell short. They didn't make the playoffs with 10 wins. But I'm not here to reset Jets history, but I will tell you this, because everybody knows it's morbid and miserable and seemingly terminal for us. But yesterday, amongst many dark Sundays, may have been my most aggravating. Now, let's just tell you why.
Go ahead.
So we had a birthday party at 11:30. Fine. With DVR, right? Roll the game, CBS, bang, click it in the morning before I take the kids to the party. Fun party, arcade video games and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'll get home. It'll be about 1. I'll try not to watch the game, even though it was at Dave and Buster's. And I didn't stare at the screen, actually, while the kids run around like maniacs. But long story short, I get home. I got my eggplant Parmesan hero, right? I know we're losing. But I wanted to watch what I thought was a pretty important moment for this Jets coaching staff. Because for those of you who don't know, the Jets have not scored a point in the first quarter this season. They don't have a point. Now, I know they're not going to win anything, but the Jets are not bereft of talent. And my partner will back me up on that.
No, without a doubt they got
talent. Jameson Crowder is a solid slot guy. Corey Davis, not 1A, but he's 1B, 1C. He's a very good receiver. You draft Elijah Moore. You got Denzel Mims. Like, you beefed up the O-line a little bit. You got some weapons, right? Every week, I have watched my team score no points and never even possess the ball in the first quarter.
Yeah, the challenges are really young. All that you said,
I understand
they're
all
just
that.
Really, really young.
Trust me, I know.
But I think youngest in the NFL.
They are. But what I was most excited about this week is last week, all they told us was, hey, we've watched the tape. We have locked ourselves in a laboratory. We are hell-bent on reversing this trend of starting as poorly as we start. And what happens? No points in the first quarter. And you know what? That, to me, is a real sign to worry with this New York Jets coaching staff. Unlike the Lions staff, who comes out, they're fake punting, they're doing onside kicks, they're going for it on fourth down, there's energy. Not that they almost beat the Rams, but they showed effort. They had a galvanized group despite having a few really tough losses. The Jets come out, they score no points again in the first quarter, they lose 54-13, they could have given up 60, and they seemingly don't care about it outside of Robert Saleh, who's pissed, and I'll play this cut in a minute.
Yeah.
But am I wrong? Like, I didn't expect to win the game.
No.
Can you score a touchdown?
Or can you just give an effort? This is the difference between some of these other teams. So we know who Dan Campbell is. So let's work from the bottom up to the NFC. So Arthur Smith, he's doing an all right job.
Yes, he is.
They're 3-3. Pitts, there's a great pick for them. What was the stat you just told me?
First of all, Kyle Pitts is the first tight end with 100 yards receiving in back-to-back weeks in 50 years. That was one stat.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the one you're looking for.
Well, that one, but there was another one about drops or no. We had no.
Kyle Pitts has not dropped a pass since October or November of 2019 while he was at Florida.
Yeah. So, I mean, great pick. And he
took him a little while to get going.
Right.
This is what we thought Kyle Pitts would be.
But now they're 3-3.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith's
won
doing
a road game yesterday.
Yep. Doing a good job.
Yes, he is.
So then you go to the Lions. We've talked extensively about Dan Campbell. We love the dude. He's my former teammate. So we're biased, but whatever.
Yep.
These dudes play hard, man. They got blown out one time against the Cincinnati Bengals. Other than that, he's biting kneecaps and you know, grabbing ankles and everything else.
Creating a culture.
Creating a culture.
He's trying.
He's trying. Yep. And you see it in how they play. Like, they play hard, even if they're not quite good enough yet. And then you have to get to the Eagles with Nick Sirianni. I think he's overwhelmed. We've had this conversation before.
Yep.
He calls the plays as well as being the head coach. It's just a ton to put on the plate of a guy who was not on a head coaching trajectory until he was a head coach in the NFL. And so my jury is still out on him. I do like the way that they fight. They play hard, this Eagles squad. And I think Jalen Hurts, while limited, he's a gamer in a sense, but they don't have the talent. So it's hard to evaluate him. And I do see them play hard. And they got rid of Zach Ertz after last week and Thursday night. It's that type of thing demoralizes a locker room. Not that that was on Nick Sirianni. And then the AFC South with the Texans and the Jaguars. The Texans, David Culley, I almost feel bad for him,
yeah.
BT, because like, we know what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
If you had Deshaun Watson playing, your straits would be much cleaner. Right? It would be, you'd have a much greater idea of how good you could be. Now you have no idea, right? Davis Mills is Davis Mills. Maybe he turns into a decent player at some point, but he's limited and he's a turnover machine and there's no way you can win. The Jaguars, we know with the Urban Meyer experiment, but they've been getting better week in and week out. Mm-hmm. They finally got a win over in London against the Dolphins. And so I look at all of these teams and, you know, maybe Sirianni's in over his head a little bit. But I'm not ready to pull the plug. And even with your guy with the Jets, I'm not Asala. I'm not ready to pull the plug. But the lack of energy is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at the point differential, and it's minus 95,
and it's not even halfway through the season yet, dude.
Minus 95. I mean, the Texans are worse because they're just really bad at minus 106.
Give us time,
all right? But it's just a bad sign. That this team doesn't care on either side of the ball.
Agreed on everything you said. As we saw some, I think, much needed emotion from Saleh yesterday post game. He tried to conceal it, and you just know this guy's a raging beast. Like in a weight room, you know, in a bar fight back in the day, as a high school player, as a college player, as an energizer. You know that he just emits real energy, but I think he's trying to maybe walk the wall and like be like a little more buttoned up than he needs to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of the rawness came out post-game press conference, which I like. Here's Robert Saleh after the beatdown.
These are grown men. They are. They're in this league, and I refuse to believe otherwise. These men play their tails off. They go to work, and they have a lot of pride. There's a lot of whys for why people show up. So if you need somebody, and it's just my opinion, to be in your butt yelling at you to get going, playing a child's game at a King's Ransom, then you don't deserve to wear the logo, period. And I know we got great character guys. I know they were playing their butts off. It's just every once in a while you get your you get your teeth knocked in.
Okay, he's grinding right there. He's unhappy. Let me shift, because a lot of the...
By the way, I forgot Brandon Staley, but I'm going to include him because they're 4-2 and playing great.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Chargers look very good. And that team was...
primed.
Lynn melted down late with clock management, but they were well organized and they were a passionate group with talent.
That's
they
right.
Just need a little more buttoned up at the top where Lynn would sometimes go awry. But yes, that team was far more prepared to win than a lot of the teams we just mentioned on this list here. All right, listen, I want to shift from Saleh, and I feel badly for the guy, because for all these coaches right now who are getting hit in a lot of different directions. Maybe we hired the wrong guy. What? You look at the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at, for any rookie coach, look at the GM that's actually setting up the cupboards for him. And we had Joe Douglas on the show. I like Joe, but I'm also in the business of eventually trying to have a good football team as a fan. And Joe Douglas allowed the New York Jets to start the season with a rookie head coach, a rookie offensive coordinator, and a rookie starting quarterback with a team that hasn't won in a decade. And no, with no winners in the locker room.
No experienced backup quarterback.
I was getting to that. Yep. And no, don't give me Josh Johnson, who they signed and they threw. I mean, like a guy who's like a Henny, like that, who knows the league, can help slow things. I know the players got to, Fields got to go out and do it himself. Wilson's got to go out. Trevor Lawrence got to go out and do it for himself. But to have somebody there, that is an asset. That's advantageous. So while, you know, Salah's taking some getting knocked around a little bit, and the real problem might be the Jets GM.
Maybe. I mean,
and let's call it for what it is here.
I mean, not maybe. It is. That's just the reality of it. It's just there is no winner. It's first of all, the youngest team in football, as we just mentioned. There is some talent there, but not a ton. And you got a young quarterback, head coach. Your coordinator is, I mean, how old is
I think he's 34.
34 years old, right? And so there's just not a ton of experience on how to do this thing.
Yeah, he's 34.
Right?
He's 30. Thanks, Mike.
To do this thing, win in the NFL. Where are you getting direction from?
I don't know. But all the things they told me they were going to change, the first series, we go off tackle, 1 yard,
yeah.
Off tackle, 1 yard,
yeah,
third
but
and eight.
That's X's
Same
and O's.
Stuff as every week.
That's X's and O's, you know, that's in the midst of a game and in the game plan. But I think this goes back to the offseason, BT. Right, to think that it would be any different than what it is, you're fooling yourself.
But they can't even script 15 effective plays. That's what's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this, but you take your 15 best plays based on the tape and based on what you think will have a reasonable chance to work against the team that you're playing against, right?
Yeah.
And you really, I mean, I guess you can deviate from it, but you have 15 things that you really believe in based on what the tape has told you, not conjecture, not a knucklehead like me on the radio, what the tape is spitting back at you. They can't even do that.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, it's not...
That's terrifying.
It's not a mistake. I mean, it's not a mistake that they're playing this bad. The difference between them and, say, the Jaguars, who also had a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, is that at least they have an offensive coordinator in Darrell Bevell,
yes,
who's been around,
yep,
won a Super Bowl,
uh-huh,
and you know, has been around the league for a long time. So there's some guidance, in a sense, to help this Jaguars team through some of these tough times, which they've obviously started to weather through at this point. I mean, they've only won one game, but they feel like they're getting better,
mm-hmm,
the Jaguars. The Jets feel like they were started bad and they haven't improved.
Not an inch.
Now Mike White is the starting quarterback. Oh, because
I don't even want to watch the Jets for the next until
because
that,
Zach Wilson
comes back.
Is out with a PCL injury.
By the way, that could have been far worse. That kind of lucky.
No
that could totally been ACL out for the season. At least we get a little break there. Let me ask you a question. Jets, everybody, if you are a fan of a team, because you've said for years, and you're absolutely right, that content, and I didn't always look at it this way, because mm-hmm, my team has always been inept offensively.
Yeah.
So I have always, whether I was a fan before I got on the radio in New York, while I was on the radio in New York, while I'm on the radio with you all these years, my teams, they don't score because we,
yeah,
never have quarterbacks. So I have always been very vocal, get rid of the OC.
Yeah.
And I've kind of thrown consistency and continuity out the window. You have taught me, it took me a while, but you know what? Continuity is kind of important. So here's my question to you. Whether it's the Jets or anybody else scuffling right now, would you rather have, going into year two, a young quarterback, young OC combo, where you don't have faith in the OC, but there's a chance that the consistency can lead to better results, or you bring in somebody new for year two,
yeah,
he could be better, or it could be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the better option?
Yeah, so so I heard this from Jordan Palmer, because when I did the Buffalo Bills game, Buffalo Bills against the Houston Texans, I called Jordan Palmer just to talk about Josh Allen,
like, okay,
and what he saw from his evolution from Wyoming to getting to the NFL, and now where he is now, where he is, you know, an MVP candidate,
mm-hmm,
at least he should be, you know, each and every year going forward. He said, first of all, nothing translates from a lot of college offenses, right? Because think about the things that they never have done. They've never called a play in a huddle, right? They've never, you know, stood at the line of scrimmage and said, down set, that's the mic, blah, 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 hike. They've never,
mm-hmm,
done that. They,
mm-hmm,
clap their hands.
Mm-hmm.
They don't communicate. They don't communicate in the huddle. They don't communicate at the line of scrimmage. And they don't know how to lead.
You don't even get the conventional snap
at right.
the time.
That's right. They don't know how to lead. And
yeah,
so the translation doesn't work unless there is absolute trust between the offensive coordinator or play caller and the quarterback. And so Jordan Palmer said this to me. I never thought about it, but he's like, the most important relationship in any young team has young quarterback, and it doesn't matter what the coordinator is, young or old, doesn't matter. The most important relationship is the quarterback and the play caller. And we saw that in Buffalo. Like, Brian Daboll and Josh Allen have this great relationship.
Yep.
And the intermediary, I forget, Ken Dorsey, the quarterback coach, he's fantastic. So it helps facilitate that. So if you don't have that connection, things are going to get ugly, you know, pretty quickly.
Yep.
And so I don't know what – I think it's good between Zach and Mike LaFleur.
You mean good in terms of being friendly or good in terms of being productive? Because there hasn't been an ounce of production.
At this point, it's just about, like, getting along, like communicating, understanding.
Gotcha.
And so that's why I've always said, and it was instinctual, but Jordan Palmer confirmed this, you can't just flip out the coordinator. You just can't. It's why head coaches or quarterbacks who change coordinators, like Geno Smith, and I'm trying to think of a few others that have done this over the years, they've had like three or so coordinators in the first 4 years of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
They struggle. Baker Mayfield was one.
Yep.
Like, even if they're talented, without that connection, it's almost impossible to develop any continuity and growth, right? Derek Carr is actually the perfect example, because there were years where he goes, you know, Greg Olson was there, and then he gets fired, and they bring in someone else, and then he gets fired. He had like four coordinators in 4 years, five mm-hmm. years. Greg Olson came back, and now you're starting to see some continuity from Derek Carr.
Yep.
Right? You have to do it. I mean, you almost want to fire the head coach if you want to get rid of the head coach because he's an inept, and keep the coordinator if you have a young quarterback, because that's the relationship that matters most.
All right. Coming up, Teague, you mentioned them before, the Lakers sputtering out of the chute here. Early season stumble, or maybe a little bit of a foreshadow in terms of what the Lake Show is going to give us this year. We'll hit that in the NBA stories coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sunday, very happy Halloween. The NFL's back on CBS. Some fun divisional matchups. The Steelers step into Cleveland. And we'll see what the Browns have. They're trying to get things going here. And the Dolphins, they really need to get it going. Ooh, Flores, that seat's bursting in flames much at this point.
We called it a couple weeks ago, dude.
We did. Don't take any pleasure in saying that, but we did. Dolphins not looking good. They're taking on the Bills, so it's probably not going to get a whole lot better. Either way, get set for all the action. The NFL today, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The NFL is on CBS this Sunday.
BT, here's the example of what we were just talking about in that last segment of firing the head coach and keeping the coordinator. Tim Kelly, who was the coordinator for the Houston Texans. When they fired Bill O'Brien, they kept Kelly, who's been there for 5 or 6 years now. His whole career has been with the Houston Texans. They held on to him and David Culley's new staff ostensibly for continuity with Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. and the offseason happened and all went to hell. But that the idea was right. You have a great quarterback in Deshaun Watson. You fire the coach, keep the coordinator.
Yeah, it's like the last thing the Texans got right.
Exactly.
They actually did that well. That's actually pretty smart.
That was actually pretty smart of them.
Man.
By the way, we just saw this on the news, too, on NFL Network. The Chicago Bears are going back to COVID protocols from last year.
Yeah, I saw this.
Because of the rash of COVID, including head coach Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Mask in the facility and daily testing for players.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Well, it is late fall. I mean, it's almost November.
That's what you said last week when we were talking about this.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the outlier, and hopefully that doesn't not just for the NFL, but for society. So it's really here. All right, Teak. The NBA season is off and running. I think there's been some really interesting stories. You and I talked about Ja Morant, how he seems to have rectified some weaknesses.
Yep.
We've had in the first week Daryl Morey going on a Philly station and saying, although this is obviously a bit hyperbolic, but point taken, could take up to 4 years to figure out this Ben Simmons situation.
You really think he would, like...
There's no way, but he did say that.
He did say it, but...
No chance.
And Daryl Morey is not looking for adulation or approval. He doesn't care.
No,
like, he's had a great career, not a championship, but he's had a really good career. He's very well thought of. He's like the man wherever he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he gonna like cut his nose off despite his face?
Nah, they'll be dealing Ben pretty soon.
I think so.
I read something this weekend where what was the deadline? December 15th. So that once you get past December 15th, the free agents who signed contracts last summer, actually it would have been not during the summer. Free agency was unconventional last year, or so it was late summer, early September, I think. Actually, if memory serves me right. But you can't get traded until December 15th if you signed a free agent deal.
Yeah.
So the thought is that he's kind of punting till at least then so that more deals theoretically will open up. But that's their situation. You know, the Nets don't look very good without Kyrie. They could be 0-3. They somehow came back from a 9-point deficit on Philly last week. Otherwise, they played poorly yesterday. Otherwise, they'd be 0-3. But the Lakers, you know, it's funny. Like, the Lakers, to me, the whole thing with Davis and Dwight Howard,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about that stuff, but I would almost feel better if that was in the middle of the season during like a little bit of a malaise, then I could say, man, these guys still really care.
Yeah.
For it to be like that, I mean, that's a pretty aggressive scene amongst teammates there. You don't really see that if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network. To see it right out of the chute, what do you take away from that as a former athlete?
I mean, so for those who aren't listening or aren't watching us on TV, Anthony Davis, there was an altercation that happened earlier. They came back together, and Anthony Davis goes up to Dwight Howard, basically grabs him like in his elbow, mm-hmm. and just starts. I didn't realize how strong Anthony Davis was. He basically like lifts Dwight Howard off of his feet and like pushes him down into the chair because they're arguing about something. Now they come out and they talk about this after the game, where they basically say, you know, there was a defensive miscue or whatever it may be. But you rarely see this in professional sports, where guys have a disagreement and it doesn't squash immediately and you get back to focusing on the job at hand,
mm-hmm.
which is to play and win, you know, the game that's happening right now. You usually hear about, in the locker room at halftime or in the locker room after the game, Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis got into an altercation, and what does this mean? Like, they did this in right on the court.
Yeah.
Right? That's what made it so surprising. Is it nothing? They're saying so, but I find it hard to believe that it's nothing.
Well, let's hear from Frank Vogel. This is now his responsibility to make sure everything's cool, and I'm sure it will be. But here's what he said postgame. Here's the coach.
Had a miscue on a coverage, and they talked it out. But, you know, when you're getting your ass kicked, sometimes those conversations get heated. Those guys love each other. They talked it out, and that's going to happen from time to time. I'd rather our guys care, you know, than not care.
Mm.
Yep. That's one way to look at it.
That was a little more than talking it out, Coach.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
He's glossing over things a little bit.
When you lay hands on one another, that's not quite talking it out.
Uh-huh.
And let's face it, though, BT, it's two games into the season.
I know. How bad could it be?
Right.
Like,
and you're
I know.
Frustrated two games into the season?
Yeah.
Unless
you had a pre-existing beef with somebody, why would it blow up that fast?
That's right.
One defensive missed assignment in game two of 82.
I agree.
It's fairly innocuous.
The other thing that I found interesting is LeBron was nowhere to be found. Right, you would think that LeBron would come flying over there and squash it. LeBron's the alpha. Yeah. I don't care how big any of those guys are, or how even if you think that AD has surpassed LeBron at this point as far as the most important scorer on that team, LeBron's still the guy. He's still the man.
Yeah, definitely.
Why didn't he fly over and get in the middle of this? I mean, you have Westbrook is there, but not really doing much. Avery Bradley's trying to get in between.
Rajon Rondo. Was he seated?
He just kind of sauntered in.
Interesting.
Like maybe he was unaware of it, but I doubt it.
You're going to feel that energy right in front of you.
Of course. Of course. He just kind of sauntered in.
So. He probably can't be bothered at this point. Yeah, right? Whatever.
Yeah, you guys suck today.
So. You see what happened Friday night too? This was a little bit of a different kind of exchange of uncomfortable lack of pleasantries, I should say. You see what Rondo did to the fan?
No.
How is this not a bigger story? So I don't know what the fan said, all right, and that's obviously important. Yeah. Assuming it wasn't anything racially charged, and it would, I don't think it was, because I think we would have heard about it.
Because I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, so I saw the Saturday in my office early, and then I was going to tweet. I'm like, you know what, whatever. I'll worry. I'll just talk about this on the air on Monday. I thought this would be a much bigger story. So there's a fan at Staples Center, home game, and whatever the fan said, you know, Rondo put the, like, imagine if you're watching this, I'll describe it for the non-TV audience, but imagine the microphone is my face.
Yeah.
The face of the guy sitting down right on the baseline on the $5,000 seats, right?
Yeah,
like right there. Rondo puts his finger and he made the gun salute, right?
Yeah.
And he puts it right to the guy's face.
What?
And the guy's like, smacks his hand away aggressively. Like, get your hand out of my face, dude. But what Rondo did was, and he even went like that. I'm not saying that Rondo's implying he's going to drop him with a bullet after the game, obviously. But NBA, how is this such a non-story?
Yeah.
Whether it's a superstar, an aging vet, or a complete scrub, you can't have that inside an NBA venue.
Yeah, Samter's telling me that Rondo was trying to tell security, whoever.
He was trying to. No, that's absolutely right.
Get this fan out of here.
Okay, so you just say, security, please get this knucklehead away from me.
Yeah.
You stick your fingers right in the guy's face?
It's a bad look.
You got to see it. You're going to be with me on this.
I'll check it out in the break. But
it was aggressive.
That's just a bad look.
It's a terrible
look. What it's portending.
Mike, how does the NBA, I got wrapped up in the weekend with the football and the kids and the sports, but I did not see anything when I circled back last night or even today. Nothing from the NBA in this. Oh, it's okay. No problem.
Did we not see anything from the NBA, but if you're watching the broadcast, they were saying, what's that guy doing? I can't believe the fan just touched Rondo.
Yes, yes.
And initially the reaction and the vitriol was for the fan for hitting Rondo. As you watch more and more of it, I mean, what is the fan supposed to do? This guy's got his hand in his face and he makes a gun motion in his eye.
What preceded this?
Again, the fan was probably heckling. Sure. He was probably saying something, and Rondo was like, hey, get this guy out of here. But you don't put your fingers that close to a human being's face, especially if you're going to make a gun gesture.
Yeah.
Even if, of course, I don't think anybody, as you're watching that, has any thought in their mind that Rondo is saying, hey, like,
I'm
going to
shoot you.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
But that's how it looks.
Yeah.
Right? And like,
horrible optics.
Within inches of this guy's face.
Yeah. I mean, T.K. is this far away from the guy's mouth, nose. Fingers are right like this.
Wow.
And he kept it there. I think he went back like twice too, right? Yeah, that was not a good look for the NBA. Not a good look for Rondo, obviously. But surprised, I'm not saying you suspend Rondo, but I mean, I didn't even see Silver address it on the most cursory level. Like, don't want this. Yeah. Like, nothing.
That's
just ignored.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. Give you a thought on the game tonight, Monday Night Football. Can Seattle save their season? Big spot for them with the Saints and Jameis Winston. Here's Rich's update right now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Tiki and Tierney. Going to get to the blast here, wrap up a Monday show in a moment. First of all, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Louisiana, Joseph, and he says, the Saints of the Seattle Seahawks tonight on Monday Night Football. Has Jameis lived up or fallen short of expectations so far this year? Good question.
I think he's right in the middle, BT. Sometimes he's looked really good. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he hasn't had Michael Thomas for a lot of the season. He will come back at some point, but I think he's at the mean. He's right at average right now.
I was expecting a little more.
I was expecting a little bit more. But knowing who he is, mm-hmm, and knowing that he can't be himself,
yep,
right, which is just be a gunslinger,
yep,
it's just kind of where he's going to fall.
It's the process, yeah, of maybe eventually getting beyond this. But yeah, you had to recalibrate a lot. I get that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I mean he's only got 3 interceptions on the season.
How many touchdowns? About 11 or so?
10.
10.
No. I take that back. 12. He's got 12
touchdowns, 3 picks. Fumbles? Yeah. Not too many. I don't think he's fumbled very much.
Yeah, because he hasn't been sacked a ton. It's a hard evaluation, man. So it comes up. I mean, they've been great in the red zone. They scored 13 of 14 touchdowns in the red zone. That's number one in the league.
Wait, they've been in the red zone 14 times, they've scored 13 touchdowns?
They've been in the red zone 14 times, they scored 13 touchdowns.
That's incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's number one in the NFL, 92.9%. Now, that changes because Taysom Hill is out of this game.
Correct.
And he's banged up for a little bit. But they've been good where it's counted. They've been good on third down as well. But I feel like we haven't been saying Jameis is having a great season.
No, because he's had about 100. Like, I think every game is like 178 yards.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. His completion percentage isn't high either.
What's he at?
60.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard. It's a great question because it's a hard evaluation.
You know what it is? He's been more efficient, but he's been far less dynamic.
That's exactly the perfect way to put it. Because when he was great with Tampa, it was like, man, this dude's going to throw 40 touchdowns this year.
Yep.
But he was going to throw for 35 interceptions at the same time. It was exciting. Now it's almost like he's boring.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think maybe to get back to being more dynamic,
yes,
the wires had to be reset.
Yes.
And maybe he's still in the process of having them reset, and maybe we do get some of that dynamic stuff.
That definitely is. He's doing exactly what we wanted him to do. Don't turn the ball over. Make smart decisions.
Yep.
If you got to be... You know, if you got to dink and dunk your way, you know, do that, even though his yards per attempt they're at league average of 7.7.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing the right things, but it's like, it's Jameis. We want to see Jameis do Jameis things.
I hear you. All right, Blast, you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, take Mitchell Trubisky. Currently Buffalo's backup. A lot of people forgot that, Josh Allen. But according to NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah, the former second overall pick, quote, will be a starter next year.
What?
Yeah, I mean, remember, if that lock in four articles, even if it's only 70% right, there's going to be a lot of turnover at the quarterback spot.
Great point.
And, you know, a year with Brian Daboll in the in that same room might be talking about rewiring people. Maybe Trubisky could be decent. People, quote, will be shocked by how much money he's going to get. So how do we feel about teams in need of a starting quarterback this offseason targeting Trubisky?
I mean, I guess... I mean, after the whole Justin Fields thing, his first playing action after Andy Dalton went down and we were getting on Matt Nagy, it's like, all right, was Trubisky really Trubisky or was it Matt Nagy's fault? It's funny because he's the only, him and Josh Allen are the only first rounders on the Bills offense. Do I see him getting commanding a ton of money? No.
No.
I mean, maybe 18 to 20 million. Right, if he's going in as going in as the starter,
yeah.
But where the hell is he going in as the starter? You know, like maybe Houston? I don't know.
I mean, what if the Dolphins whiff on Deshaun and there are situations. I mean, Carolina Panthers,
Steelers,
Washington,
Steelers.
He's big and strong. He's got the big arm. He's got a pretty good arm.
Yeah.
You would think that kind of body would hold up in Pittsburgh inclement weather. He's a pretty good runner.
Broncos. Potentially.
Broncos. And there's teams out there that need some upgrades.
Now that we talk through this, because the quarterback draft this year, 2022, is not elite.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really just Malik Willis at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think there's anybody else that's jumping off. Spencer Rattler's gone. Maybe Pickett. Maybe, you know, the kid from Pitt. Maybe he rises. I don't know. There's not a ton of quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah. Listen, I think we pretty much answered here. You can move on here, Stu Getz, since Tiki spoke for 53 seconds and I got six. Go ahead. The Sixers are 2-1 on the young season. Ben Simmons, the saga continues. However, this hasn't stopped some of Simmons' teammates from publicly supporting him. Joel Embiid had this to say when addressing the Philly crowd on Friday.
On behalf of my teammates, the organization, and myself, I just want to say thank you for your support, all these years and then now, a lot has happened the last few months, and I urge you guys to continue to support us and our teammate Ben, because he's still our brother. Let's go.
There you go. Wow.
Did they cheer him or boo him?
I couldn't tell. The horn sounded. Get him off stage. And Tobias Harris said this following Friday's game.
It's easy to look at something on the surface and come to your assumptions on a lot of things, and especially athletes, in general in this space, you're depicted as superhumans and not really supposed to have feelings or go through anything. So I think we just have to really, really understand that he's human first. And, if he's going through something at times, we have to respect that. And we have to be there for him as a team, organization, fans, all the way down the line.
Well, the fans ain't joining you on that anytime soon, Tobias, I can promise you. What do we make of Simmons' teammates now supporting him publicly? Couple things. Number one, I think they realize they're a better team with him, even with his deficiencies. I think, that he addressed the team last week, face-to-face. I think that was very important for them. You as a former player could obviously identify with that.
Without a doubt.
He was vulnerable, and I think that, most people with good hearts, when somebody puts themselves out there and they are vulnerable, even if the previous inclination was to maybe shut them off for whatever reason, I think you're far more accepting and you try to help them more. So maybe you kind of change how you perceive the situation. And I think they know it's desperation time. I give them a lot of credit. Even if they don't fully believe it, they're putting their best foot forward, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, and that's all that matters, is that the team is speaking with the same message at this point. If Daryl Morey is going to lock in and not move him, then they got to make something work, because you have one of the top defenders in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like top, not like top 10, like top.
Hey, Gobert. Yeah. I mean, it's a short list.
You can't not play the kid. Yeah. So you got to figure it out, even if it's not ideal.
All right, this is not ideal. The Nets, a little bit of a rough start to the season here. 1-2. Could easily be 0-3. I mentioned that before they came back. I think they outscored Philly 15-1, which is kind of just one of those quirky things. That's the lone win they had, which is a good win. I'm not trying to take away from a good win, but they were losing most of that game. Did not play well. And guard James Harden Just 18 points a game. Getting to the line just three times per game.
Mm-mm.
Think about
new
this.
Rules.
They got to change the rules a little bit. Can't launch yourself into people. I mean, things have changed. After Sunday's loss to the Hornets, I told you the Hornets were going to be good. 3-0, by the way.
Yep.
The Hornets, Steve Nash, the coach, had this to say about the superstar struggles.
I feel like he's unfairly become the poster boy of not calling these fouls. But some of them are definitely fouls still. But they're just so alert and aware, and he's the poster child of these new decisions that they're still, I get it, there's a line, but some of them are still fouls. So he's just got to stick with it.
Okay, so what are our thoughts on Nash using the league's new rules as an excuse for James Harden's performance thus far in the season?
It is what it is. James Harden sometimes gets to the line 16 times in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So now if that goes down to, you know, six, it's going to change his stat line. He's going to have to learn to play different, and I think he will. It's only been three games. James Harden is an elite player in the NBA, and they need him to be because they're missing scoring. Last night, or I think it was last night, KD had 38.
Yeah, they played Charles yesterday.
Yeah, he was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
KD.
No, KD's KD. Don't worry about KD.
One guy can't do it by himself.
That's right.
He could have scored 50 in that game. They still lose.
Mm-hmm. So, I know. They had a rough. They did not look good.
No.
You know, yeah, he's going to have to really modify how he plays, and it's going to be hard to do that in season. That's probably more of an off-season thing. I'm not sure if he's in the best shape. You know, he's still coming back from the injury, which lingered, the hamstring. So maybe that's part of it, maybe. But
it definitely is.
It is. Yeah. The onus is on James Harden because the league is not going to suddenly wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, we're probably a little bit too unfair with James. No, they are radically trying to alter the way the game looks. And James Harden might have a little bit of a rough season here because he's never jumped over you. He's never been a burst around you. It's always been jab steps and this unique freeing himself up style that a lot of the rules have changed where it's going to be tougher to free himself up. So it's going to be interesting.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, Teague. My Super Bowl tonight, every Seattle game. Really, if the Jets want to have a good draft pick, Seattle loses, that's good for your partner. Horrible. So we'll get the game tonight.
That one was good.
I got the Saints. By a three spot. Give me New Orleans tonight.
Give me the Saints. I got the Saints as well.
Got the Saints. All right. Good start to the week. Follow us on Twitter at Teague and Tierney. Have a great Monday night. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.